come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled The Acts of the Apostles, a chapter by chapter, verse by verse study through Acts chapters 1 through 16. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com.
So the first thing that we learn in chapter 5 is that the early church had some problems. Oh, shocking. I'm so glad we don't continue to work with those kinds of problems in the church these days. You know, if you get more than two people together, even just two people together, you're going to have problems because we're different from each other. And so as we look at chapter 5, you all know the story of Ananias and Sapphira, and I would bet that most of you, who has never heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira? You've never heard the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Okay, so I won't go in that direction. I'll just keep going the way that I was going. Okay. Okay, so the story of Ananias and Sapphira, you all did it in your homework. You have a better understanding of it, but a certain man named Ananias. So Ananias' name means favored of the Lord. It's interesting when you look at this and you see what he did, even knowing that his name means favored of the Lord. So Ananias's name is going to be redeemed in chapter 9. Ananias would be the person in Damascus that Saul of Tarsus would go to, and he would take him in, and he would care for him, and he would lead him in the ways of the Lord. So that name was redeemed back. With his Sapphira, his wife sold a possession, and he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to who? To the Holy Spirit. To lie to the Holy Spirit. Recognizing right there that he is saying that the Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person right here. As we move on down here, and keep that part of the price of the land for yourself. While it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. So now he's saying, not only is the Holy Spirit a person, but the Holy Spirit is God. So the Holy Spirit is not only a person, but the Holy Spirit is God. This is proof of that. If anybody asks you, you have that proof right there. It says that Satan filled his heart to lie to the Holy Spirit. And then you look at it, okay, when Satan put in his heart, or Satan tempted him to do this, that was not the sin. The temptation is not the sin. When we follow through on that temptation, that's the sin. And what was the temptation that he was given to? He was given to holding back some of the money that was from the sale. It wasn't that he held back anything, really. It's that he lied about it. Peter says, all the money was yours to keep, to do whatever you want to do with it. It's fine. You don't have to sell it. But you know what? He had looked at, who was the guy last week? Barnabas, who had sold the land, and he gave to it. He got all kinds of recognition. I'll bet Barnabas didn't make a big deal of it, but there were people who made a big deal of the fact that Barnabas did this and said, oh, you know, he gave all of this money and all of that in there. So Ananias is saying, I want that kind of recognition. So we've got pride, and the pride creates a situation for the lying, because we want to make ourselves look good. Ananias wanted to make himself look good, and so he lied about what he was doing. The interesting thing about it is that here we see Peter, who is working in one of the gifts of the Spirit. What is one of the gifts of the Spirit that you see and Peter working in right now? Discernment, knowledge, a word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is knowing something that you wouldn't know any way except that God would tell you. Discerning of spirits, being able to discern, decide between the two spirits. These two gifts are going on here. Not a big deal is made of the gifts. It just kind of looks natural, doesn't it? It's just like, how would you know that? But we see that it is the Holy Spirit that did it. And so, you've not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. And the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out, and buried him. And so we have here, I don't know of, there are some in here who used to go to Melody Land years and years ago. You remember in Melody Land when there was all of the things going on and people would give of their jewelry. They would, just as the offering came by, they would take their jewelry off. They would put it in the bag. Now, were they led of the Lord? I don't know. Were they doing it to be seen? I don't know. But I know that that happened. And there were many people being healed at that time, but that's for another part here. Now, I'm getting ahead of my notes as I'm going through this. So the problem was that he was lying, and he dealt with it. God was not fooled by his lying. This is the first illustration of Numbers 32:23. Be sure your sin will find you out. And Hebrews 4:13, all things are naked and open to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. So God knows. There is nothing hidden from the Lord. There's nothing hidden from him. And so how did he die? How did this happen? Was it a heart attack? Was it a stroke? We don't know. We know that Ananias was humiliated, and he probably went into shock over what had happened. Did God kill him? That's a whole nother teaching. Okay, so we'll not get stuck on that. We've got too much to cover in the whole chapter here. And so he dropped dead. He was carried out by the young men, which was a common practice that he would be buried right away. But what was not common was the really common thing that was to be happening. Usually bodies were embalmed and wrapped in clean linen, and a procession to the burial grounds outside the city took place. Apparently this did not happen. You notice that it says the young men carried him out. I look at that, and those of you who have been with me for a while know that I look at some of phrases and I go, why is that there? It looks out of place. Why is that there that the young men, it was the young men who carried him out? Were they stronger? No, I don't think that's the thing. It is important that the young people know the consequences of sin. It's important that we teach them. It's important for them to see God at work. It's important for us as young Christians to see the Lord at work and to see these things happening and to see the wages of sin is death, spiritually death. But in this case, it also cost him his physical life. As we go on, we'll talk about whether or not they were saved. And so Sapphira's name means beautiful. So she was a beautiful woman married to a man who was favored of the Lord. And now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. How did she not know what had happened? Was she at home and just said, well, why isn't he coming home? What's going on? And so she goes in there, and Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. You know, all of the marriage conferences that I've ever gone to, they always say, try to agree with each other. Try to agree with each other. This was not one of those situations that she should have done that. And so she's looking for her husband and didn't see him there. And so Peter explains. Peter said to her, and I think with a heavy heart, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. And then immediately she fell down at his feet, breathed her last, and the young men came in, found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. And so Peter explains, as I said, with a heavy heart, why would you agree to lie to the Holy Spirit? Why would you agree on this particular thing? The word is test is used here in the New King James. She was trifling with God. She didn't take God seriously. And so Exodus 17:2, Deuteronomy 6:16 warns against such things. She was trying to see how far she could go in presuming upon God's goodness. See how far we can go presuming on God's goodness. And Jesus faced that same temptation when he was out in the wilderness, Matthew 4:7. And so she fell dead. The young men carried her out. Now, on this, there is no reason for us to believe that Ananias and Sapphira were not saved, because I believe that they were. The physical death was, in fact, a divine judgment upon them, which didn't involve the question of their salvation. The very fact that they were believers determined the enormity of their sin. The fact that they were believers made the sin so much more. We can't expect people who are not Christians to act like Christians. If a non-Christian, a non-believer lies, we don't really think, oh, God's going to judge you for that, or God's going to deal with you for that. We expect. Every believer is a liar. I'm not saying that at all. Don't take it off on another tangent there. But they were pretending to surrender all, but were deliberately holding back from God. So their sin had to be dealt with, and I'm glad that it was dealt with early in the church and that the young men were there to see it. And we have a record of it. We know that God takes it seriously. This event opened the eyes of the church to the fear of God and created a purifying influence. This is the first time so great fear came upon all, verse 11, all the church. And then this is the first time that the word church is mentioned in the New Testament. The church is, it means called out and refers to the calling out of the people from their homes to the public assembly for civic purposes. In the Old Testament, it was used of Israel as the people of God. In the New Testament, the church is the new people of God. The word is never used as a building. This building, you guys all know it. This building is not the church. We refer to it as the church, but it's not the church. Church, raise your hands. Because we all know who we are. We are the church. It's a group of people. It's not a building. The church is a group of people. And so great fear came upon all who heard these things. And so the message reads verses 9 through 11 this way. Peter responded, "What's going on here that you connived to conspire against the spirit of the master? The men who buried your husband are at the door, and you're next." No sooner were the words out of his mouth than she also fell down dead. When the young men returned, they found her body. They carried her out, and they buried her beside her husband. By this time, the whole church, and in fact, everyone who heard of these things, had a healthy respect for God. I look around at our country today, and I know that what we need is a healthy respect for God. A healthy respect for God. They knew God was not to be trifled with. They would learn that. And through the hands of the apostles, many signs, wonders were done, verse 12, among the people, and they were all of one accord on Solomon's porch, all gathered there together. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly. The people no longer joined the ranks. It was no longer the in thing to do. When I, during the Jesus movement, there were a lot of people who came to Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa because it was the in thing to do. There were people who went to Melodyland because it was the in thing to do. But you look at those people today and they are not walking with the Lord. They were not serious. They were trifling with the Lord. And so that's the situation that we had here. Only those who experienced a genuine saving work of God dared join with the church. They knew the severity of the challenge. If you join the church, it meant that you are sold out. It doesn't mean that you give everything that you've got. No, that's not what it's saying. It says that you do not trifle with God and that you do what he tells you to do. And so there were a number of such believers. Ananias and Sapphira had left a legacy worth more than the money that gave temporary relief for the needy. The examples Peter made of them had a marked and lasting effect on the strength and the growth of the whole congregation. Do you agree? This would be the place where you all go, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm with them. Okay, so... And believers were increasing, verse 14, increasing, added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets, laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them. Also, a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed. And so here we have a situation, so the shadow of Peter might fall on them. Is there any strength in the shadow? No. Was there any strength in the hem of Jesus' garment? No. Was there any strength? Remember the lame man who said, when the waters move, the first one who goes in gets healed, but I can't get there. Was there any strength in that water? No. The strength is in our faith to believe. With the huge number increase of the church, we find that the more there, oh, okay. So later, Paul will give handkerchiefs and pieces of cloth that would heal the people. Do the handkerchiefs and the cloths heal the people? No, it is by faith. It is by faith. It is the faith. Now, do not take that out of context. Faith does not make God do what I want him to do. God is still in control. And so what caused them, I believe that what caused them to believe this, that all of them were healed because their faith was so increased by the numbers of people who were gathered together. Do you ever notice that it's a lot easier to believe what God's telling you when you're in a group of people that believe that same thing? On Sunday, during the last song of worship at the 11 o'clock service, Annie? Was it the 11 or 9? Okay. At the 9 o'clock service, the closing song, we're all sitting down and the song is going on and it's, I want to stand. I want to raise my hands, but I'm in the front row. I just, oh, what do I do? What do I do? And I hear Annie, praise God, something that she said. And I could tell that she was standing up. And right away, that gave me confidence to stand up, raise my hands, and almost everybody in the whole congregation did the same thing. So it was her faith that sparked my faith to cause me to do what God wanted me to do. So when we join together and we have that faith, and you know, if you ever feel that way in a worship service, don't hesitate. If you want to stand up and raise your hands, if you're sitting in the front row or you're sitting in the back row, wherever you're sitting, you are not a distraction if you are worshiping the Lord. If you are standing up to be noticed, please don't do it. But if you are standing up to worship the Lord, do it. We are here to worship God, and the Holy Spirit is at work here. And we want to continue to allow the Holy Spirit to be in charge, allow the Holy Spirit to be at work, allow him to do the work that he's doing here. And we don't ever want to take that over. So all of that to say, in John 14, 12, Jesus said, "He that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to the Father." And this was now being fulfilled. And so the misuse of faith, I had a young mom. I was a young mom at the time. Her baby had died, and we're all, you know, talking with her, praying with her and everything. And this one gal who was of another group said, "If you had only had enough faith, your child would be alive." And all of us were just like, "Oh, that's not God." And even at that young time with us, we were all, no, that's not right. That's wrong. That's wrong doctrine. That will never be correct doctrine. It is not my faith. It's the faith of God. So, okay, so moving on. And the angel of the Lord. And so verse 17 we are at. And so then the high priest rose up, and all those who were with him, which were in the sect of the Sadducees, the guys who are sad, you see, because they don't believe in resurrection, and they were filled with indignation, and they arrested the guys again. Okay, here we go again. Okay, come with me, guys, and the apostle, and put them in the common prison. Bad move, guys. You shouldn't have put them in the common prison. Because now everybody knows what happened. You should have kept them in the private place there. Put them in the public. Freedom of speech was not on the Sanhedrin's agenda. They had told the apostles before to stop preaching Jesus. Now that they're thrown into the public jail. These guys were filled with jealousy. That's what was going on. They were filled with jealousy. It might have been a better idea for the officials to keep them in the private one. And so, but, you know, strong men, strong people do foolish things when they're walking in their own zeal and their own jealousy. And they did a foolish thing there. And an angel of the Lord came. But at night, verse 19, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, which is very interesting to me because it says that the angels opened the door. I was looking at this going, what'd they do? Beam me up, Scotty? You know, how did it says that they opened the door, yet they're going to come and they're going to see that the door is completely locked, just as they left it. So, go stand in the temple. This is what you're to do. Here you go. I'll lead you out. You need to go stand in the temple. It's nighttime right now. And speak to the people all the words of this life. The apostles hadn't been able to finish their work in the temple. Lots of people had heard only a part of the message of eternal life, but not all of it, so God didn't allow for the interruption. They would pick up where they left off, and they would speak the word of God again, and they sent them to the temple to teach all of the message. They went without breakfast. Verse 21, and when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning. Early in the morning. Early in the morning. Seek the Lord early in the morning. First thing in the morning. No matter if 10 o'clock is early in the morning for you. Early in the morning. First thing, seek the Lord. Whatever that timing is. And they sought it more early morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came, called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought out. So all of this is going on. And so the angel of the Lord came there. Hebrews 1, 13 and 14, God's angels are ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation. And so they were there to free them. So they were to go in and they were to preach. They went straight from jail to the temple. They were fasting. They didn't stop for breakfast. We have no indication that they stopped for breakfast. They did it without any meal in them. And I would imagine they didn't have a good meal the night before. But maybe they were content to work without eating. As Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. John 4, 33 and 34. And so the guys come and they find no one inside, but when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported saying, indeed, we found the prison shut securely. Remember, the angels opened the door, but we found it shut securely. The guards standing outside before the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside. Kind of reminds you of the tomb, doesn't it? They got out without any other way of them doing that. So now when the high priest, verse 24, the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they wondered what the outcome would be. So one came, so they have somebody, a snitch or someone, who comes and tells them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and they're teaching people. That's where they're at. They're not in the prison, they're standing there. Then the captain went with the officers and made sure that the job was done, brought them without violence, for they feared the people lest they should be stoned. I think it's an amazing thing that the apostles went without violence. The apostles didn't put up a fuss. They just went with the guys. This is the third time now that they're being arrested. But they didn't say anything that disrupted the crowd. They just went with them. And sometimes we need to just do that. Sometimes, for the sake of everyone, we need to just walk away. Walk away clean. Just walk away. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, didn't we strictly command you not to teach in this name? And look, you've not only teaching, but you have filled Jerusalem with this doctrine. You've filled Jerusalem. We told you, stop talking. Stop talking. What are you doing? We told you to stop it. And what did you do? You filled Jerusalem with it, with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood on us. They must have been listening, because now this is the third, or is it the fourth time that they've talked about the fact that the blood is on them. But Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Oh, darn. What are the guys thinking? The guys are thinking, you know, maybe they forgot that God doesn't have, or that they don't have power over God. Maybe they forgot that God is in control. Apparently they did. And so, again, we are at that place. He's reminding them again, the religious leaders who killed Jesus, or the God who raised him back to life. Who should we listen to? The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you, they used this word for the first time, murdered. That's different. That's different from crucified. That's different from killed. Someone is murdered, it means that they were without reason. There wasn't something that happened that caused you to do that. You murdered him by hanging him on a tree. Him, verse 31, God has exalted, lifted him up to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. There can be no forgiveness without repentance. There is no forgiveness without repentance. And how do we, Acts 2:38 and 3:19, Peter preached repentance as a commandment in response to this question, in response to the question, what must we do? What must we do? We must repent. God does the forgiving, we do the repenting. God provides the opportunity for repenting, Revelation 2:21, and shows people their need to repent. This is the grace and the mercy of God. Repentance, no forgiveness. Repentance equals forgiveness. How do we repent? 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so it was God who exalted him. And he called them Prince and Savior. Peter is speaking to people who knew the scriptures. Isaiah 9:6, the child to be born will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. They knew Peter was speaking of Jesus as God. They understood that. They would remember that the Christ is described as Messiah the Prince, Daniel 9:25. Messiah the Prince. They would understand that Peter was claiming that they had killed their Messiah. They understand what he's saying. And we are his witnesses, verse 32. And we are his witnesses. Each of the apostles had seen, heard, and touched the risen Lord. They were not preaching hearsay. I heard that somebody got healed. I heard that that Jesus did this sort of thing. I heard my aunt told my sister, told my whoever that this happened. No, they were right there. Eyewitnesses, the things that I have seen and I have heard. 1 John 1:3, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we beheld and our hands handled. I love that part. Our hands handled. Do you ever say to yourself, I just sometimes need something with flesh? These guys had that. Their hands handled Jesus. They touched him, physically touched him. Where was I? The Holy Spirit is witness, okay, and witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit whom God has given to those who, our favorite word, obey him. What is in that word, obey him? He will give the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. What did he say? Repent, forgiveness, and then ask. Ask. Ask Jesus to come and live in your heart. Ask for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. That's obeying him when you respond to that. And so, the Holy Spirit was speaking through the apostles and confirming the word with signs following, Mark 16:20. When they heard this, they were furious and they plotted to kill them. Do you ever visualize things that are happening when you're reading in the Bible? Do you ever visualize? I see them tearing their garments. I can't believe he's doing this. That's what they did in those days. Throwing dust in the air. Can you just see these guys doing this? These pious. Can you see that happening? Well, now you have a picture of it. Anyway. That's just the way that I study. I've got to see these things happen. And I'm not visualizing anything. I'm just making it happen in my mind, which is visualization, I guess. They were furious and plotted to kill him. Then one in the council stood up. One in the council. See, isn't it great how God always plants someone? Why am I here? Why am I amongst this group? Because God told me to be here. And then you find out, I get to share with someone. Or I get to, they need encouragement or whatever. While the Sadducees are angry and decide to kill the apostles, like they killed Jesus, a Pharisee calms him down with a bit of common sense, and he'll explain. His name was Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in respect, so he was well-liked, he had a position by all the people, and commanded them to put the apostles outside for a little bit. So go ahead and just kind of, let's put them outside again. Okay, here we go again, going to go through another story like that. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves. Get yourself together. Dudes, get it together. Do you see what you are doing? Have you lost your mind?" I think he waited for them to get out, but how does Luke know this? I think Luke saw some things happening. I think that Gamaliel said something like that. "Have you guys lost your mind? Remember those two guys?" It'll go on to say, "Remember those two guys, Thaddeus and Judas of Galilee? They rose up and they perished, and everybody who would follow them perished as well." Verse 38. "And now I say to you, keep away from these men. Stay away and let them alone." There was the one plant in that whole group who said, "Stay away from these guys. Don't arrest them again. Get yourself together. Pay attention to what you're doing. Remember history. And for if this plan or this work is of men, it's going to come to nothing. So stop it. Settle down." But, 39, "If it is of God, you can't overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God." These were men of God. These were men of God. These were leaders. And here they're being told, if you hang on to this, if you keep going in the direction that you're going in, you're going to be fighting against God. Have you ever found yourself in a position where you realize, "I'm fighting against God"? It wasn't right away. It just, you're in a position, I don't see a lot of, I have, where I really want this. I want it my way. And I know in my heart I am fighting against God. I know it, I know it, I know it. And I have somebody come alongside me and say, "Girl, get it together. Stop it. Get yourself together." And they agreed with him for a while. And when they had called for the apostles, and I say they agreed with him for a while because what did they do? They called for the apostles and did what? They beat them up. They beat them. Maybe the 39 stripes. I don't know. But they beat them. They commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Dudes, were you not listening? Did we just go through this whole conversation? You're still not listening? And so the apostles were given the beating, but instead of reinforcing the council's command, it reinforced the apostles' determination to defy the command. We have to do what God has told us to do. So they departed from the presence of the council, verse 41, and they were rejoicing. They have been beaten, they've been arrested, they've been beaten, they've been jailed, they've been going through all this stuff, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. For his name. Sometimes we do things that are not so smart, and we say, "Oh, I'm suffering for the Lord because of it." No, that wasn't because of his name. That was because of something foolish I did. "Everybody's against me because I did this." No. They're against you because you did that thing, but it had nothing to do with God. And so that rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Persecution is never easy to bear, but if you interpret it as sharing in sufferings of Christ, you can even rejoice in it, as painful as it is. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 19. And daily, Daily. Every day they were in the temple and in every house. So they supplemented the teaching in the temple with little house churches. They did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. And so these house meetings had several advantages, not the least of those that they wouldn't be interrupted. So here these guys do. They are doing exactly what God's called them to do. Remember, these guys are filled with the Holy Spirit. What did they pray before? God, we pray that you would give them boldness to keep doing what they're doing. And that's my prayer for us, that we would have boldness to continue to do what we're doing, continue to obey God, continue to walk in his ways, continue to do the things that he's told us to do. And so, Father, I thank you, God, for your word. I thank you, God, that you have filled us up. Lord, it is you who has made the difference in this. Lord, it is your Holy Spirit that's here, that has spoken to us things that I'm sure that I didn't say. Lord, I thank you, Father, for the way that you are ministering through this study. We pray, Father, that we might walk in boldness, that we might hear your voice, that we might be strong, courageous, and just have that stamina that we need, Lord, to continue on, to walk with you, and to bring glory to your name. To bring glory to your name. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Just as these gals go into their small groups, Lord, I pray that in their time, that it would just be sweet. Lord, as they look into your word, as they pray for one another, as they get to know each other better, Lord, as things are made clear in our minds, in our hearts, Lord, that we would just move on and walk with you, encouraging one another. Lord, would you make us all to be Barnabases for one another? In Jesus' name, amen.
Giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name. I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on in the power of your name.
This has been a presentation of the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry at Refuge Calvary Chapel, Huntington Beach. For more information about this ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495.